Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Israel Connection. It's been a while. I'm Esti Zanotti, and with me today is Ben Kreshtel. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Esti.
Thank you for joining me on such a short notice.
Thanks for having me.
So today we'd like to talk about everything that's been going on in recent days during Passover and the weekend.
It's been a crazy couple days for sure.
Yeah, so just watching all those videos and reading everything that's been going on campuses, especially in Colombia, it's been terrifying, to say the least.
That's one word for it.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know how people look at it from the outside and are not like absolutely scared.
I think it's that syndrome. I think it has a name, but like people is like, oh, you know, I don't have to get involved. It'll resolve itself. It can't be that bad. Like it's, you know, it's probably not that bad, but you know, this is like, these are the warnings we've been saying, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
for years
we've been saying it. And recently, you know, people, it's not, the rhetoric that's coming from these people isn't just rhetoric, right? It's it's their desires. You know, the people will tell you, you know, show you who they are. And especially when you're coming from, you know, what words come from Hamas or these other terrorist organizations, what they say is what they mean. They mean what they say. And, you know,
yeah, that's their ideology. That's what they live by.
Right. And they think, oh, it's just hyperbole. They don't really mean it. No, but when the Ayatollah is saying that, you know, he wants to wipe off Israel from the map, he wants to wipe off Israel from the map. It's not politics, not rhetoric. It's real.
Yeah.
And the things that these people are saying here on these campuses too, it's real also. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of problems with some of the people who have joined these protests who are like useful idiots, right?
Yeah. Who all don't the brainwashed know. Zombies.
Right, right. Yeah. They're sort of like, you know, happy to be part of a protest movement. You know, it's an air quote protest movement. But they don't know what it's for. They don't know what it's about. They don't really know anything. I mean, this is not a struggle about land here.
No, it's right? not about it's never really it, been about
no,
land.
No, it never was. Yeah. But you know that these useful idiots,
right?
Right. Are I able mean, to... they,
yeah. I mean, just to see those videos of them, like having this one professor,
oh my god,
one Muslim professor shouting all these things, you know.
And
bomb
Shai
Tel Aviv.
Davidai is the one who's under investigation,
yeah.
right?
<That's cr> yeah, we'll talk about him too in a minute. Yeah, and then everybody's repeating him like a bunch of parrots. It's like, it's insane. It's a cult.
It's scary.
It's very cultish. Like it's, you know, and it's growing in a speed that nobody saw coming, except for some Jews that, you know, we warned everybody for years, and people were like, no, you're dreaming. No, it's not it.
But then, you know, like, I am not one to make comparisons to the Holocaust lightly. I really am not. I don't like when people call people Nazis, you know, or like, because I mean, that's like a serious
right.
thing here. But when you look at what's going on campuses today over the, you know, what was happening last week, you know, and you look at some of the photos from the early 30s about how the Nazis were using academia to push Jews
yes.
out of colleges mm-hmm. and restrict access to higher education. There's some eerie similarities there, and it's scary to see. And you know, that was also, I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, okay, so it's not so bad, right? Look what happened.
Yeah.
You know, look what happens. And these things are like a warning sign. And in the Jewish community, we know this. We know this.
Yeah.
Like, we know this. But everybody else think, oh, you're overreacting. But imagine if this was any other group,
oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know why
the
this
world
is acceptable.
Would be on fire
right.
by now.
Why is this acceptable to say things about Jewish people or Israel? If it was any other country or any other minority group or any other anything, this wouldn't even be a conversation.
Right.
Right. It would be shut down immediately. But when it's about Jewish people or when it's about Israel, it seems to be
yeah,
for some reason okay.
For all.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I do know why, but it's anti-Semitism is why. But.
Yeah. So speaking of Shai Davidai, he's a Jewish Israeli professor at the
Columbia.
School. Yeah, at Columbia, yeah. at the School of Business. And he's been very vocal about what's going on. And he's been out there protesting and defending.
Also warning.
Yeah, warning and protecting the Jewish students and just, you know, trying to make our voice heard. And he's been met with a lot of clashing from their side and
death threats. He's been getting threats.
And his ID was deactivated
for his own safety.
Yeah, right.
And he's under investigation by the school.
He is,
which is crazy to me because all of these other professors are saying despicable things.
Yes,
despicable
they all glorify things. October 7th. They glorify Hamas.
Yeah.
They call them
and
terror,
all this guy is doing
fighters,
is
whatever,
trying to protect Jewish students. And for yeah. this, he's under investigation.
Right, and it's absolutely insane.
Despicable.
And see, he's been like the first one to call out media outlets also and journalists.
Right.
And he had an interview with Chris Cuomo the other day, and Chris brought also like a counter person, whatever, to have a conversation with him, which was a person that openly supports terrorists and Hamas, and he like friends with Hamas leaders and all these things, and it, like he funded one of the terrorist speakers in one of the universities, and Shai says like, I don't understand why you bring these people in there. This is not, stop doing both sidism, you know?
Yeah, both sidism.
Yeah.
What that is doing is trying to put a moral equivalency between Israel and Hamas.
But there is none.
But that's what CNN likes to do. That's
right.
What all these media outlets like to do because in
the New York Times and all these, you know, that's a whole different story. But
yeah,
like they did the same thing. And this morning he posted something, they interviewed him, and then they spun the whole thing completely on its head and changed things. But he's right, but nobody's saying it. Like, nobody's calling out these people that, on one hand, they're like, oh, because Chris Cuomo, he, you know, talked about it and supposedly, like, supports Israel's right to exist, obviously, and supports the, you know, everything else that's going on with the hostages and all the calls for the return of the hostages. But, like, then he brings this person.
Right.
How do you, like...
reconcile it,
yeah,
right.
How do you reconcile it? Like, it's not... It's very contradicting.
Right. If you bring a terrorist supporter, there's no defense of terrorism. It doesn't, It's right. It doesn't compute.
Yeah. And then Columbia University, they're saying that they're negotiating.
Yes.
Do you negotiate with terrorists? Sound sane to you?
It doesn't work.
No.
It only gives them more incentive to behave this way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to resolve itself.
Yeah. So like...
It's very stupid.
Yeah. Speaking about that, like today, the White House issued a statement along with 17 other countries around the world that they're calling for Hamas to release the hostages. And although it's very nice of them, it took them over 200 days to release a statement calling out Hamas for once and not keep calling Israel.
Right.
And, I mean, I think it's too late. I mean, by now, Hamas knows that they can do whatever they
want. That's exactly right. So the administration has in its desire to sort of, again, play both sides, right, the whataboutism and...
Yeah.
Oh, Israel, because it's a democratic country, has a responsibility to wage this war justly, which, by the way, we are doing. I mean, it's not, you know, Israel has a very difficult job. And if you look at the statistics, actual statistics, not from the Hamas Ministry of Health, right? If you look at actual statistics, what Israel has done in Gaza is no short of, like, incredible that they've been able to actually limit the amount of death that has happened in there, unnecessary death,
right?
It's war. War is terrible. Lots of terrible things happen in war. But Israel has gone above and beyond and out of its way to make sure that it has not unnecessarily, you know, had too many unnecessary casualties. And so the administration and its desire to, you know, sort of reprimand Israel and not Hamas, Hamas has become emboldened by the administration's,
they're enjoying it.
Yeah, by the administration's statements, right? The administration is not calling out Hamas, you know, regularly. And so they learned, it's like, oh, well, we can really do whatever we want. Because as long as we continue to force Israel to engage in these military actions, and let's make no, it's not a secret, Hamas doesn't care about the people of Gaza.
No, Hamas doesn't care about anybody.
Those are pawns for them, right?
Yeah.
And if you know, Israel continues to engage in military actions in Gaza and more people, you know, will die, and then it makes Israel look bad. And Hamas just gets to sit there and be like, good, we're winning our goals on both sides, right? Israel is the demon. And we're getting rid of our opponents, right? Because the people of Gaza, you know, it's so because of the administration's inaction and you know, they haven't been forceful in their condemnations of Hamas, Hamas has become emboldened. And now this is, you know, this is the result of that. And the international community, it's not just the administration here in the United States, but, you know, the British Foreign Secretary David Cameron has also made some terrible comments that have emboldened yeah. Hamas. You know, all these other countries, France, Europe, EU in particular, their chief foreign officer is an idiot.
And UN.
Yeah. Well, did you see? I think it was yesterday. They published a new thing about sexual crime.
Yes, and they did not include Hamas.
They left Hamas off the list.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, so Guterres, who's the UN secretary, is like, I'm not an anti-Semite.
No, so I think they're not. None of them is an anti-Semite.
Israel's foreign minister said that if the Nazis had been doing their crimes today, Guterres wouldn't have called them out on it.
No, yeah, it was like,
actually
yeah,
inclined
go
to believe
for
that
it.
Now.
Yeah, but
what
that's
a worthless
the thing. Like,
organization, the UN.
They are worthless. They are pathetic. They are so biased. It's like
it's really
you know. It's like it's out there. It's very clear that this
like,
is
such
their
a sham.
Agenda.
It's such a sham.
It is. Yeah. I don't know, but and people look up to them as if they're like the
oh,
god of the
yes,
universe.
The peace. Keep
yeah.
Them.
Yeah, so peaceful. I mean, the fact
but
that they
UN
have...
But the UN has been embroiled in scandals for years.
Yeah,
and
I mean, look,
wants
the fact that they
that.
Have the Islamic Republic of Iran as the UN chair for women's rights.
Forget
I mean,
also,
what?
Iran is like a ranking member of the chair on like disarmament.
Yeah.
And it just sent 200 drones to
and
Israel,
civil
like,
rights. Like,
right? It's crazy. It boggles my mind. North Korea, I think, is on some of those
yeah.
also. Like, it's a sham. It's a sham.
Yeah.
It's a sham.
So, yeah, so speaking of shams, the Khomeini, the Ayatollah, the head of
supreme
the Sikh
leader,
head, yeah, the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran,
ooh.
He said yesterday, he tweeted that he commends all the American students, college students, for raising the Islamic Republic's flag and fighting against oppressors. I'm like, what?
Yeah, talk about hypocrisy. I mean, for yeah. but the fact that the Ayatollah has a Twitter account and then banned Twitter in Iran, like that, this yeah. is like what it, right? It's all yeah. hypocrisy that comes from Iran, right? And it's just like, and again, these stupid, stupid college kids who are so stupid, like don't even bother to like do any research. I mean, none of those kids would survive a day in Iran.
No, they wouldn't. They would not. And I saw some, you know, the drag queen reading, like the library stuff. They did that, Drag Queens for Palestine.
Oh, wonderful. Right.
And they read. So there's this account that is like a parody account of this Jewish guy that he posted.
Is it Rabbi Linda? She's my favorite.
No, not Rabbi Linda. No, I forget his name. I'll look it up. But he posted a picture. So he made up this character and he photoshops it in different pictures
oh,
of
that's
the
funny.
So what he did, he photoshopped himself into the picture with the drag queens for Palestine.
Oh my God.
And then he said, we must take this to Gaza and change their lives.
Oh
like something
God.
Like that. I'm like,
You know what would have happened to a drag queen in Gaza?
Yeah, thrown off the roofs.
Well, there aren't many roofs left to be yeah. thrown off of.
Well, they'll find something. Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so yesterday also Hamas released another hostage video. This time it was Hirschpol and Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it was so heartbreaking to see him so injured so badly, lost his hand, and he looks obviously like, you know, it's heartbreaking. And the fact that a lot of people were like, oh, that's great, means he's alive. No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
This video only makes me anxious and sad. You can't trust anything that Hamas puts out into the world as real. Like, you
no.
can't. We have no idea when that video was recorded, no anything about it. And I just, like, this is what Hamas does, right? It
yeah, psychological warfare.
Yeah, it's psychological warfare. And you know, these poor parents.
Yeah, they released a statement yesterday, a video. And first of all, this is the first time that a family allows the media to actually show the video. normally when there's a video, they show like a picture from the video and that's it.
Yeah, I saw, one of the news reports I saw the other day was, you know, that they were saying that we're not showing the video, you know, we're not going to show it. But even though they have asked us to, we're not going to do it.
Most media, they don't want to show it, but yeah. The family
those are incredible people. I know they've been doing tireless work since October 7th.
Oh, my God. Every single day. They've been one of the most prominent families out there, Osage family. And Rachel Goldberg-Polin was chosen 100 People of the Year in Time Magazine. I'm sure this is not something that she was ever hoping for.
No.
But it just, it's incredible to see. Like, it's extremely inspiring, and I'm in awe of what they do. They've been doing this whole time. But I can't even begin to imagine the pain that they're going through every single day, and like the pain they've been through watching this video.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
It's so awful.
It is. I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking, I saw a picture of Avigail Idan, the 4-year-old Israeli-American hostage that was released with one of the first rounds. She went to the White House, and she has a picture with President Biden, and they talked about how she's kind of, you know, going through it and healing from this trauma that I'm sure will probably never fully heal. But it's just thinking about the Bibas kids that are still in there, and nobody heard from Shiri, like their mom or them, since the beginning. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's going on with them.
And the scary part of all of that also is that it's also likely that Hamas might not know where they are either. You know,
that's what they claim.
You know, it's possible. I mean, the way that everybody in Gaza is sort of connected to each other. I think I've stopped to believe the, you know, innocent Gazan. I don't think it exists.
No,
the innocent Gazan, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I forget which, was it Mia Shem? I think she was talking about how she was held in like the house of a family. Like,
oh yeah, a lot of them were.
Yeah, these regular people, right? Yeah. Innocent people. And so, you know, and you know, Hamas, it's in their interest to sort of keep things moving along. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's terrifying to think about because.
So something crazy, the sister of Elad Katzir, the hostage that was murdered in January, and his body was found. She talked to a couple of the other hostages that stayed with him. And she learned that during one of his stays, because they kept moving him around from house to house.
Yep.
During one of the stays, he actually babysat for the terrorists' children. He was their babysitter, and apparently, you know, they formed some kind of a connection, him and the kids. But it's just insane that they were just everywhere in people's houses,
messed up.
Kids and their wives, and it's just absolutely insane. And there were other. Like the one with the kids, the Calderon family, they were also with a family with children. They said the kids were taunting them with snacks, and you know, so just I don't know. It's absolutely insane knowing all this stuff, and I'm sure there's so much more than we haven't heard yet. And eventually we will.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think you know. I know. What's his face just resigned. I think a head of military intelligence resigned the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they were starting to cobble together the beginnings of an investigative panel and committee, and Knesset are going to start to, you know, do their thing. And if the Yom Kippur War taught us anything, right, that commission toppled that government, right? It toppled that government, and it's likely something similar could happen. I mean, Israeli politics, you can't really speculate.
I think people.
But I think, look, people rightfully are going to want answers. And I mean, there is some sort of intelligence failure here, some There's a big failure.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to figure, you know, out what is going on there, and people responsible probably need to either be fired or resign, and you know,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yes, a lot will happen with the Israeli politics for sure, but we don't know when it's going to.
No, and you know, when Israel is ready to do it, they will do it.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be from outside pressure. Chuck Schumer, I'm talking to you. You don't get to decide when Israel has elections. Yeah. Israel gets to decide when.
And
it
what's
has
her
elections.
Name? The Pelosi.
Right.
She joined him and like take care of what's going on in your land.
Right.
Because right now it's not good.
When it's right for Israel to do it, Israel will do it. Right. Yeah. Israel has never shied away from having multiple elections in a year. That's a thing that happens sometimes. When it's ready, it will happen.
Yes, and the citizens of Israel.
Yes.
Proved over and over again that they're very vocal.
Yes, exactly, you know? Right. And, yeah. And this is the vibrancy of Israeli democracy, you know,
right.
Something that, by the way, does not exist in Gaza or the Palestinian territories.
Yeah, or Iran. Or
Iran.
Lebanon.
Or
Saudi anywhere
Arabia.
Around
or
Israel.
Yemen. Or, yeah, pick one. Pick one.
Yeah, pick
like.
One. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know, it's crazy stuff. So, on the Israeli news the other day, there was a story about, like, they interviewed some of the kids that came back from captivity.
I've seen some of those videos.
So they talked to the kids, and they talked to some of the parents also. And the the younger kids are very, very much affected by everything.
Of course they are.
A lot of them still have a father in captivity, or a grandfather, or, you know, an uncle. And this is something that they will likely never totally get over. I mean, it's not, you know, it's hard to heal from something like that.
Yeah.
And one of them, I think it was Hadas Calderon, I think, she said that she still has nightmares. She's scared to walk down the street by herself like she used to. She's scared to... Like every time she hears something, that little noise that reminds her, she jumps.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they don't want to sleep by themselves. They need to have their parents with them at all times. It's just really, really scary.
It's trauma. It's terrible trauma, you know, and I hope to God that, you know, be able to work with those issues and, you know, a lot of therapy.
That's for sure, but you know, it's going to be
right.
Extended
it's
going to
be with them forever.
For the rest
it's
going to
be a
life.
Part of their lives forever, you know, and that's, you know, one of the, you know, the unseen scars, you know, that you talk about for trauma.
Yeah. You know. So what do you think about, so I want to go to Israel this summer. I really want to go see my family. I haven't seen them in 2 years. And one of the things that they've been trying to convince me not to come is because they don't want my daughter to be scared if there's, you know, if the red alarm goes on, if, you know, what do you think about that?
I think you should go. You know, I think you should go. You know, Israel has always lived with the threat, you know, we've
right.
always sort of lived with the threat and, you know, yeah, it's scary, I think a little bit, but I don't think there's ever an opportunity. I would never not go to Israel, right?
I would never not go. If it was up to me, I would have gone October 8th. Like,
right.
I would have been there already.
Right.
But I think the main issue is that to bring a kid to that environment that has never been in such an environment before.
You're her parent. You will make
yes.
the right choice, I'm sure.
Obviously,
but
yeah.
I think you should go. I think she should go, too. I mean, she's been before, right?
Yeah, she's been many times before, yeah.
So, you know, this will be maybe a different experience kind
right.
of for her. But, like, you know... She's going to find out eventually anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right? she's aware of everything that's going on. She's very mature for her age, and she understands more things.
So
and
maybe
yeah.
it's not a bad idea.
Maybe. Something to think about.
It is something to think about.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah, I'm still, I mean, I'm like 90%, yes. Just waiting to see if like the ticket cost goes down.
It is.
No, that's
well,
the problem.
This is the unfortunate side effect of war and the, you know, the airline carriers are, it's, you know, expensive to fly to Israel right now.
Yeah, it has to happen at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks again,
and talking
SG.
About all these things. And we will keep you updated. And as a reminder, every 7th of the month, we'll release an episode and talk about the survivors of October 7th and share their stories and give you any updates coming from Israel. We hope and pray that the hostages will be back home
every day.
And we just hope that we will see the light at the end of the tunnel and have an end to all of this, and that our American youth gets back to normal.
Well, that's, you know, an interesting thing to think about. Like, what's going to happen when this is all over and everybody sort of goes back to their regular routine, and they're going to, like, forget. They're going to forget all about this. They're going to be like, what do you mean? You know, and, you know, their Jewish friends are going to not want to hang out with them.
No,
like,
I think,
why not?
I think it has reached a point that you there has to be, you know, something has to be done.
Oh, there's got to be
beyond,
some sort of reckoning.
You know,
well, we'll give credit to the governor of Texas, who is
otherwise he's
a
the
crazy
only one.
Person. But
no,
he made, I think, a good call. You know, we're not going to allow these people to take over our college campus.
Right.
You know, we're not going to do that.
Well, hopefully
and
everyone else will follow his footsteps.
Look at that. Like, action was taken and we're moving on now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know why Columbia can't do it, or, you know, these other schools are just catering to these idiots.
Yeah, I think Columbia is a lost cause now.
Definitely a lost cause. Zichron Ali Racha.
Goodbye. Yeah, well, hopefully others will follow his footsteps, and we'll see what happens next. All right, well, thank you everyone for listening. Until next time.